Hello, this is Comedy Potpourri.
This is Paul.
And I'm Alan.
And welcome to the show. Today we're going to talk about, UFOs, aliens, governments, conspiracies, all about, you guessed it, UAPs.
Ooh, my favorite, one of my favorite topics of all time.
It's so convoluted. There's so much stuff that just gets intermingled. It's hard to believe what to hear and what to see. So one of the things we did talk about, anything like on Reddit?
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about this. So there's a couple of different areas where conspiracy seems to run rampant online. Reddit is a group forum that I have come across only a couple times. I don't subscribe to any of it per se because of the vast rabbit hole that you can get into. And the conspiracy theories come across. The way I was telling Paul is, you know, you can have anybody just chime in and say that they're a scientist or a physicist or something like that. And you can use the best, to use a Star Trek term, technobabble,
yes,
to explain anything and come across as being a know-it-all and just dissuade anybody who's reading the article.
I'll just get my dictionary out and my theorist. Need one for that one. No.
Thesaurus. Yeah, it's a kind of dinosaur.
That's right. It has two small arms.
It's got like little T's for like arms.
So, but you could take any of those words, and because you're not really just all of a sudden typing out, you're thinking and probably written it out already before you type it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
If it sounds smart, it'll probably come across to the general public as smart.
That's right.
And because
it's from S Smart.
Shop Smart, S Smart, B Smart. So, I would have to say, Dr. Paul.
Yes.
PhD in...
Babble talk.
He's a Babylonist.
I can read gibberish from the tribe of Jibble.
It's a little known country in the Southern Seas. But this is what I'm talking about. It's like, anybody can put a moniker. It's like the ads that you see come up every once in a while.
Right.
Because whatever you're doing, the AIs that are out there are picking up. You've got a little bit of an interest, or you've gone through an entire ad just because you had a brain fart.
Okay. Now, this is what's interesting. So all of you that are following aliens, everything, anything that you're following, it's going to come up on your feed because that's the way it's set up.
The algorithm, as they like to say,
yes,
will read that you have an interest, even a vague interest. Even if you pop in just for a couple seconds and then, next topic, please. The algorithm sees it as a click, and they automatically start charging that. And so when they see all these clicks starting to go with associated type of things, the AI and or algorithm is going to suggest to you, hey, maybe you should take a look at this because you had an interest in this. It's like any time that I go to a Home Depot and I'm looking up some tools and stuff like that, somehow it tracks what I've been viewing at work and suggests it when I'm at home.
Well, what's interesting, when you go into the stores now, and that's part of it now, is that somehow your phone or whatever you're tracking will know that you're in that store, and guaranteed within a week, you're going to get an ad for something.
All right, so I'm going to just come out front about this right now. So that means somebody's been watching how many times they go to the porn sites.
Yes, they do.
They know what they know. What style I like.
Alien porn?
No.
The lizard people do it every time.
I've heard some interesting stuff about that. That actually came up as a side note, going back to the actual alien thing, came up in one of the debriefings that they had in Washington, D.C.
Yes,
there was actually, as Paul and I were just talking about earlier before the show started, there's been three major things that I saw that came up just this week prior to the show coming up today. And one of them was an interview that they had on a podcast called Weaponized with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp with a guy by the name of Michael Brown. I had to actually search his name for a little bit to be able to finally come up with it. News Nation confirmed it, and they had a conversation with Corbell about it. Now, as I was telling Paul initially, and we're just going to go into the Weaponized podcast, 74, I think, is what the episode is issued as, that when Knapp and Corbell are interviewing this guy, he seems very run-of-the-mill kind of guy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, but there was something about the interview that seemed disingenuous to me. Now, mind you, that's just my opinion of the interview. Now, there's another couple parts that are supposed to come up with it. But something about the show in my head says, nope, not accurate.
Right.
Not accurate. Now, I will say that George Knapp has been in the works since the 1980s, right along with Linda Moulton Howe during the 1980s, talking about the stuff that was coming out of Area 51, S4, the Skunk Works scenario, all the governmental stuff. And Knapp has always been a journalist that has really gone through and vetted a lot of these people and stuff like that. So Knapp, to me, is a not untouchable individual, but he's been there for a number of years, and he's been still doing it, and he still continues to do journalistic stuff, but he focuses on this particular thing. In fact, the McMinnville UFO festival that they're having this next week or so,
yes,
in here in Oregon.
In fact, Lou's going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a speaker.
So Lou Elizondo, George Knapp, and Jeremy Corbell are going to be at this festival talking about this whole particular topic. And this is where I run into a little bit of an issue, because it's just like I was telling Paul. Jeremy Corbell is a likable guy, but he also has a particular slant in the way that he presents his weaponized show online.
Right.
And it's always from a slightly dark governmental conspiracy scenario. And because he's putting it out there, that's the way it's perceived. That's the way he presents it. Knapp is along for the ride on this one. Corbell usually it gets to these pointed kind of questions, but it's always a rounded kind of question. It's never direct that. Like they were talking to Brown, Knapp was continuously bringing up the weapons of mass destruction scenario number of times, and as to talk to Brown about it. And Brown is coming across, and there's some stuff that he just kind of sidestepped.
That's the scary stuff. That's like, oh, we're going to scare you, so you listen. The
problem
with this is that we've talked this before we start, is that there's so much disinformation out there that you don't know what is true. And some of that is put out for a reason.
Yeah.
It's put out by these, what do you want to call them, agencies, black ops.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Black ops. Even the CIA. They're saying even the CIA, FBI, are putting stuff out for disinformation because they don't want a lot of this out there. Some of the people that we see will give you the information, but just enough not to go further.
There are certain non-disclosure. Yeah, NDAs.
Yeah.
That you can't say certain things. You can allude to it. And then they cover it with like a frosting of chocolate or something.
Right.
So it tastes sweeter. It's like, I want some more of this.
Now, Greer.
Dr. Stephen Greer.
He has none. He has supposedly has so much information. 170 people, they said, that he's interviewed, that he has information that if anything should happen to any one of those, that he will release it.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, and that he even said some of these people who come out, they're so restricted that they can't tell you the whole truth. And, he pointed out Lou, saying that, you know, he wrote this book, but, you know, and, of course, they all have books out.
It's in my book.
And then Pope, he was the head of the UAP in England,
yes.
The UK. I watched his interview. He actually goes a little bit further, but he even says, I cannot discuss some of this due to congressional, and he's talking to the congressional panels and stuff, that I cannot discuss this because we're now in meeting with congressional panels. So they are meeting. When they say they have to go to a skiff, The funny thing is I said, you know how many SCIFs are in Washington, D.C.?
I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That's the reason why those rooms and those hallways are so vacant is because there's so many SCIFs going on. Everybody's involved in them or something.
So we're talking about the aliens. So one of the things that was brought up is that these black ops do not answer to anybody.
No. No. There's no reason to. But the problem is that because they have no oversight, as what the congressional people have been talking about, like Burchett and DeLuna and... Oh, I forget.
There's more. There's more adding on. There's like about four or five now.
And it's all bipartisan, by the way. Again, so it covers both political stances, at least here in the United States. I have no idea how it deals with the UK or anybody else for that matter. And I'm sure they're vastly connected in some way or another, because the US and the UK have been like allies for decades, even though we used to fight each other long time ago.
About
250 years ago. Yeah. Down with King George. Whatever.
So I have to say this. I should have said at the beginning, but we welcome all the countries. We have what we're covering covers the whole world. So it's just not the United States. It's covering everything. In fact, Canada just has started a new UAP program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard about this yet.
Yeah, they started a new UAP program. Well, UK has one already. I believe France has one and Spain has one because of their sightings that they've had.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of side related materials that we could get into, but I'm going to try to just focus on the UAP scenario
right now,
since that's the new term for UFO.
So if you go on the Arrow Report,
yes,
and they actually have videos and pictures of some of these. Some are questionable, but they're not enough. I mean, you know how many that they have, and they put up these hokey ones. They have a lot.
And if you take a look, you can see the label for some of the AI stuff that's been coming out, like NCOG or something like that. They look really close, but they're synced up with a word or verbiage from some sort of other report, and they mask the two together, and then it shows this AI-generated UFO sighting.
Right.
Really good. But if you go onto that website, that's all is listed, and it's all AI-generated BS. And it's like, oh, well, that's just ridiculous.
Well, we're talking on that. How do you pronounce his name?
David Grush.
Grush. Sorry, Mr. Grush. When they were interviewing him, they said they have a lot of footage, but they have a 45-minute footage of a UAP.
Ah, so along those lines, that was the one thing that Brown was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it should be stated that we were just talking about that. Because there's not an oversight for these black ops scenarios, doesn't matter which agency. There's probably a lot of cross-pollination going on between these agencies, especially in black ops.
Right.
And I'm sure that there is a group that if somebody who's looking to become or who's thinking about becoming a whistleblower because of the verbiage or the way that they're intonating something in a conversation that's being monitored, they could be whacked.
Your brake line may be cut.
Yeah. We'll get a call, talk into one of the mafia families and have them do some work for us.
Yeah.
And that cross-pollination's been going on for decades.
Oh, it has.
Oh.
That's another conspiracy about a president.
I used to play a game back in the day from TSR called the Illuminati game.
Yeah.
It's a card game, and you had different control groups that were in charge of different groups of people. Like, you could be part of what they call the UFOs or something like that.
Well, that's one of the things I got to tell you. One of the things that talked about the Illuminati is that it's ran by lizard people.
Oh, sure. Why not?
And then I found out, I'm going to go a little bit further with the lizard people. There's actually been different stages of lizard people, okay?
Oh, yeah.
There is one that actually talked to, I think it was a newsman or somebody, and was describing everything that was going on. And one of them is that, why do you think that you are so advanced right now? And I'm thinking, Just think how fast everything else slowly went, and then humans came, and like, you think we've been around for a long time, but really, compared to Earth, we're like,
it's just a snap of the fingers.
Snap of the fingers. You know, Thanos is like, okay, you're around.
Oh, man.
You know, that type of thing. So what she was saying is that
tired?
Because we're so advanced, is that a certain alien changed that the way we were because we were supposed to be slaves.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
And so they were changed, and we're so advanced that now we have weapons. So if they come back, supposedly you're supposed to, come back for us as for slaves, that we have a way to fight back that is survivable.
Okay, so the first thought that comes to my mind is the episode of V where the lady rips part of John's face off and you see the lizard underneath.
Yeah.
That's the first thought that comes to mind. But I've heard, to kind of jump off of this, and we're going to get a little skew here because I'm like that because of whatever comic book I've been reading. that apparently, according to our genetic makeup,
right?
Okay, humanity has the great potentiality of stuff like that, but we've been limited in our DNA, and there's a bunch of junk DNA which has been documented that supposedly by number of different scientists that we humans contain X amount of this DNA, this DNA, this DNA that doesn't seem to do anything, but it's there.
Right.
Right. Well, why is it still there? Is it vestigial? Is it kind of like my appendix? Did my appendix have some sort of ability to like, haha, poison, you know, just zap it or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's like, so there's a number of different races had come here, imbued humanity with stuff from the Pleiadians, stuff from Andromedans, just whatever. And all this manipulation.
We are the great world melting pot.
Seriously. Serious. But supposedly humanity is supposed to be now is being, you know, all these light codes and all kinds of stuff are supposed to be like reactivating stuff, and we're supposed to be shifting into a fifth dimension or something like that. And it's like, I'm all for it. Bring it.
Well, that's okay. Now we're going to get back to that. When you said the fifth dimension, which we're coming in and, you know, we're flying right here, is that the UAPs, some UAPs are actually ran by aliens' minds. And that by some doctors and scientists have said that they have gotten humans to that point where they can actually interfere with those now.
So to go back to Hal Puthoff in his interview with Joe Rogan, right? So he's starting to talk about the part of the interview I was watching was talking about the remote viewing and how he had a couple guys coming in. And this is a thing called Project Stargate, which I had read about years ago in a Time magazine, let alone anything else. And they were talking about remote viewers and stuff like that. And Indigo Swan and, there's one other guy that they mentioned that were really good. So the CIA was getting kind of tired of putting out money for this. So they started saying, like, you know what? We need you guys to go into Russia. So we're going to give you just a set of coordinates. You don't know anything else. Here's a set of coordinates to go to. And what do you see? And start recording them. And there was a number of different things that a couple of these league guys in the remote viewing were coming up with. Now, Hollywood likes to, as always, because Hollywood has got the popular dispersion of stuff. And this goes back to like the MJ-12 documents back in the 50s by Eisenhower and those guys when they're talking about the Roswell incident.
Right.
And something that took place a couple years before in Italy, when the U.S. was dealing with the World War II, retrieving a UAP from Italy.
1938.
Yes. And Grush even said that during his interview with Congress at that particular time. The second congressional hearing about UAPs was kind of like, but you're introducing some new players. You had Elizondo on that board.
Right.
You had Mike Gold from a former NASA senior official who says that NASA has a bunch of stuff, but NASA has this tendency to sanitize, and that is actually...
It does,
to sanitize a lot of the photos and or documentation. But if you're looking at the feeds coming back from the SDS stuff from the space shuttle, and you take a look at, what is it, SDS 48?
Right.
And I've seen this video years ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember watching that.
They actually have videos of the Black Knight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Pretty cool. That's a UAP, by the way.
Yeah. Look it up.
UAP, Black Knight.
Yeah, let's stick that one.
We won't.
That's a different kind of thing
altogether. That's a different thing altogether. But what happened is they've said that they've had several, and they said, I have one person said several, the other person says more than several UAPs. But one thing I have noticed through several of these people who come out is that what we're just talking about, how they can sense mental signals, is that they can halfway around the world, mm-hmm. and they can talk to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things they said too is like, how do you think these people travel and talk to each other far away? They can actually do this mentally for some reason, be here and on the other planet where they're at, talk mentally back and forth. It's faster than they can think of, you know, it's just the way it's going.
Mental projection is one of the things it had been talked about. I remember as a kid, they would always talk about
ESP. Oh, my gosh.
ESP was a big thing. And, of course, science fiction writers and stuff like that went off the deep end onto that one.
Scanners.
Stay away from David Cronenberg. Stay away from Michael Ironside. I love him as Ham Tyler in V, the series, but no, not in that movie. It's a bad idea. Especially in what ends up happening to him versus Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall.
Yes.
Terrible.
Okay. They can actually communicate, and that's what it says. They communicate and they can mentally, with these ships, control these ships. And that's what they're saying. They were calling them down.
Okay, so one of the newest independent groups. Okay, so in popular culture, because that's where people mostly get a lot of this stuff from. Okay, right. So the secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, okay? It's a popularized thing, but right. At the core of it is that you have a group of individually funded scientists that are trying to find out all these crazy-ass anomalies that are taking place at the ranch.
Which I find funny as who owned it before them.
Well... Right. So you had some ranchers, and then in the 1980s, Robert Bigelow of Bigelow Aerospace.
Because there's a lot of anomalies happening.
Anomalies, and he wanted to do an investigative work about it. But he also was trying to find a way around funding it himself, so he got a hold of Congressman Reed to help him out.
Head of the House.
And Reed actually got funding for it, but they were going to do a huge investigative stuff on the entire anomalous stuff that was taking place around Skinwalker, right. But they had to channel it more into the UAP thing
right.
than anything else. And it's like, and that's what happened. And Bigelow had it going on for a number of years, and then he ended up selling it. I don't know all the nuances of that to another entrepreneur who wanted to continue on with that, but he wanted to bring in a couple other new people onto the ranch.
And they've been doing a lot of scientific work.
And there's a lot of documentation that was far in advance of what Bigelow Aerospace and those guys were able to do. But there is a lot of stuff that backs up what Bigelow and those guys were doing, researchers were doing out there at right. that ranch.
Yeah.
Now, that aside, I feel like I just got off track here. There's so much stuff talking about Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, that's gone.
But there's a new group that deals specifically with UAP called Skywatcher.
Yes.
Okay. And these guys are guys who were working in as independent contractors initially for the military.
Right.
But because they were independent contractors, they don't fall specifically under any kind of military jurisdictive stuff. So they could do whatever they needed to do. But a lot of these guys who had workings with UAP and so on like that, formed their own company. They got a couple of their own remote viewers. They've also got some other scientists like, Gary? He's a scientist that studies biological stuff.
Okay. I don't know his last name.
You'd recognize if you see him. He's a very unique... To me, he looks like a very unique-looking individual, but okay. He's a very smart man
right.
that studies all the physiological and physical stuff that goes along with what these guys are doing when they
right.
go into these meditative states or remote viewing
right.
states.
And
right?
actually, Dr. Greer is part of that, too.
I believe that.
Yeah, he is.
There's actually a group, I think I mentioned it briefly in one of our other episodes, that there's a place that's not... It's up in Washington State near Mount Adams.
Right.
That has a bunch
That's
of
where
remote
viewers. He actually talked about that, where they had a group together and they mentally meditate about a certain thing, and they've actually brought UFOs mm-hmm. in the area.
Now, during my side work on this particular topic, there's a guy who says that he has a particular frequency that can bring these things in. No. Let me take a look at my notes here, because first off, we were talking about Hal Puthoff as one of the things that came up from Project Stargate on Rogan. There was a talk about the Age of Disclosure documentary that you had brought up.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna let you take lead on that.
Well, what happened is 34. I think 34 scientists or people that have worked in the industry have got privately, and this was secretly done. They made a movie. It was secretly done. Nobody knew about what they were doing. And they made this movie. It is all about disclosure of UAPs, aliens, where they're at, you know, the facilities, which I'm sure is going to really have a problem with that.
So people are going to get torqued.
And then the underwater ones. I still call them UAPs because they're underwater. But
the USOs?
USOs. Sorry. That's why I can't say that. It just makes me laugh. So Bob's in the middle of it. Bob Hope. Yeah. That's for you older people.
Him and Bing are hanging out there.
Yeah.
That's actually where Bing came up with that concept.
So this is what's going on. And... It's supposed to have been released. It hasn't been released yet.
No.
It actually showed in Texas at one of the conventions.
If you get an unaltered of it, put it out there on the piracy networks and let it go. Because my guess is that somebody got a hold of it and is scrubbing this particular feature.
I have a feeling that, yeah, guaranteed.
I think I kind of understand why they're being so hedgy about it. And this will go to one of the topics I want to talk about. But first, there was a guy that was talking about a frequency, right? To be
right.
able to chime these guys in. His guy's name is Jason Wilde. W-Y-L-D-E.
Yes.
Who says that there's a frequency that you can use if you broadcast it at 7.83 hertz that would be able to bring... any UAP there.
See, now I thought I would heard it was 163.2 or 162.3. But that's the one that they end up listening to from outer space.
But the 7.83 hertz frequency seems to have gotten some reaction from other people who are using that and broadcasting it out.
Wow.
So
time to experiment.
I don't know about that one. Better have some great good intentions on that one. Say, hey, can you just show up and show me that you're there? That's all I'm looking for.
And no plugs.
Right. No plugs. No plugs. No plugs. But here is an idea. Now, remember me talking about how I thought that the drones was a bait and switch scenario?
Yes.
Okay. So I think how long ago was that? Like 9 months ago or something?
Yeah.
Crazy
it was,
stuff.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
been a little while. I forget how long we've been working on this stuff for. The bait and switch is not too far off. I think here is an idea. So here's the government, whatever agency, decides to put out this whole thing with the drones, right? They want to see how the public deals with the drones. initially. It's a test.
Right.
It's a test run because they know at some point the UFOs or UAPs are going to be coming in droves, and we need to see how the general public is going to react when it's something that could be pawned off as a drone or something like that. An unsighted, you know, we don't know what this thing is. We think it's a drone. It kind of acts like a drone. It's probably a drone. But how does the general public deal with it when it's buzzing their fucking houses and stuff like
that? Now, this brings up a good thing for us. It was brought up, if you're agnostic or not, and those with faith, to see an alien coming towards you or know that, oh, there's an alien. You know, right now we're kind of like, you know, yeah, kind of laugh about it and stuff. But if you saw a fleet of alien ships come in, and then you start thinking consciously, they're talking about how destructive that's going to be to the population and the way that we think. People are saying we're ready. We're not ready.
Not quite ready. I think the thing that I've seen recently is the idea of perception. You know, are you open to it? Are you open to that idea? A lot of people will say yes, but down deep, psychologically, you may not be ready for that.
May not be ready, yeah.
You may not. It depends.
It's going to change your whole belief system.
And the whole belief structure. The whole idea of what was once religion could totally be turned on its ear. And whatever faith that you happen to follow is just now it's been swept under the rug.
Right.
And it's like, no. What you were seeing was an alien.
Except the Hindis. Because they've talked about, is it Hindis? The one they talk about, they had the gods fought in the air, and they were like nuclear explosions.
Oh, yeah. It was a Hindu
yeah.
stuff.
So they've talked about that. They've actually have pictures of these things flying, and they talked about nuclear stuff. So
Or something that would lead you to believe that there was a war in the sky of right. some kind by the gods, quote unquote. Gods.
Well, back then it would be gods. So that's where to think that the aliens, UAPs, are new. They're not. I mean, they go way back. There's things that you know that we talked about.
To bring up to that, so a great science fiction author really brought this up and really clarified it for a lot of people is Arthur C. Clarke. Okay, so if you have a technically advanced race or species, right, that comes to Earth, if you are much more advanced, whatever they have or capability-wise is going to be looked upon like magic mm-hmm. to the more primitive species. Now, in reference, we're the primitive species right now. A lot of the technology that these beings may have, because I know for a fact that there's got to be somebody else out there flying around doing something, right? But if they're coming to Earth, their technology is going to be looked upon like magic. And today, I was looking at something today. All right, get this, all right? I still use a mouse with a cord.
Right? I got one right there.
All right. But I'm looking online, on Amazon of all things, right? And I'm looking at these wireless mouses or mice. Or meese.
Right.
Meeses to... I hate you, meeses to pieces. That's Mr. Jinx for you cartoon nerds out there. So it's wireless. So how could you possibly be moving something around on a screen wirelessly? That's magic.
Yeah, that would be... Think of that 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
If you had a TV in front of a primitive man and you have... Think of the wand that you have, right?
Right.
It's a control, remote control.
That's magic.
Yeah. So really, in all honesty, Harry Potter's got himself a fancy remote control.
That's right.
So it is Dumbledore.
Well, this is, that which brings up the UAPs, is that is why they're so quiet about it, I think. It's slowly going to come out. It's not going to all of a sudden, because think of what happens is when civilizations are not ready for new, advanced anything.
Mm-hmm.
It can actually bring the down of that civilization.
So the introduction has to be done in increments, slow but methodical.
Right.
So, for instance, if these guys back in the 1930s and 1940s had had all this information, that's the reason why these groups were put together of think tank, basically. How do we function without the oversight of the governments? And we'll start off this fresh thing with MJ-12 or Majestic 12.
I was just going to bring that up, yes.
I'm going to bring it up because I think it's a great starting point, because I think it gives credence to the reason why over years things have slowly been brought up in popular culture, which is outlined in MJ-12, by the way, how popular culture will be influenced by these things. So look at the 1950s. You had a lot of these supposed alien invasion scenarios popping up, right? Even taking older popular stories like H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds being brought forth into a more modern version. You already had seen what happened in 1938 with the War of the Worlds radio show.
Right.
That was a tester.
Right.
Was it a tester?
I think it was. I don't know if it was, but, I mean, he had to... They screwed up a little bit and didn't put the broadcast...
There was no notification at the time of a radio
until
broadcast.
Until like half an hour in or something like that.
I've listened to it. It comes in about 20 minutes in.
Does it?
That this is just a radio retelling of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds on CBS.
But the first 20 minutes, people are going, oh.
It sounds like a regular radio show. And that's the way Wells played it off. And it was their version of a Halloween scare. Now, if you took that reaction and you... play it in line with what ends up happening in 1933 that you say that they...
38, I think
38.
In Italy.
In Italy, you have an actual UFO.
El Duce had it.
El Duce. I have to say it like that. Sorry, I can't help myself. Duce.
History buffs will know what I'm talking about.
So the United States gets a hold of this. They get another one in 1947, so a couple of years after World War II.
And it was suggested that they knew how to take it down because they had that other one. They actually got UFO from Italy.
Yeah, they did.
The Americans did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Patterson, you know who gave it to them? Who gave them the rights?
Who?
The Pope. Because I think it was that's what was held in the Vatican, and the Pope said, no, you need to take this.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading something.
Okay,
a little
remember
bit about
this.
That.
So the Pope knows that there's aliens, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But doesn't change your faith. That's what's interesting. A lot of people that are into this, it doesn't change their faith, but they're into UFOs and aliens, which is...
It actually makes sense if you think about it, because it says that the creator created other beings in the universe. Human beings may have been the focal point for the longest time, but we're expanding our faith to incorporate them.
For the aliens, we don't know what their religion is.
We don't.
We don't know anything. So,
they may have one, they may not. There seems to be a so-called universal concept. Sorry, I almost made Paul do a spit take there. A universal constant of the idea of brotherhood and love being thrown out there, which was even voiced by the guy as a Skywatcher initially.
Right.
Because of the way he had some sort of interaction or his mind being touched by a very loving feminine presence.
Right.
That's the way he perceived it.
But it could be a certain alien... humid, right? That has that capability of transferring that. While the other ones could be, I mean, we're not talking about just one variety.
Nope.
We're talking very different varieties. And so, and they all have different spaceships, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about the different spaceships. There's the tubular man. There's the egg. And by the way, the egg, Lou Elizondo came out and said that when that egg that they found had hieroglyphics on it, and they're trying to figure out what it says.
Yeah.
Which means that's why they have AI. Of the things that AI is to use a lot of stuff, because now they're using AI to search the universe, which is very interesting that they're doing.
Well, the thing is, I think they're concerned about, too, is like if you get yourself with your quantum computer.
Right.
And mix it in with an AI, that somehow the AI is going to use its quantum computing and figure out how to take over the human race or some shit like that. Which, you know, hey.
With drones? Think of that. Drones and.
I'm waiting for Nomad. Non sequitur. Non sequitur. You are inferior.
So there's the egg. There's been regular. Bob Lazar said there's like the regular flying saucer.
The saucer shaped.
Right.
They actually talked a little bit about that. And I think one of the ideas is that, you know, for the longest time, you had the saucer being the most popular thing. But if you take a look at the way that the initial saucer that Arnold saw over Rainier, that's not a saucer.
No.
It's a flying wing.
Yeah.
It looks like a boomerang.
Right.
And I thought.
And that's what they've seen. They've seen that several times. Phoenix is a big one where they had like hundreds of people see it.
And that's a giant flying triangle. Triangles are a big one. Okay. So you have your saucer. You've got your triangles. You've got your tic tacs or, you know, the elongated cigar shaped vehicles. Right. So there's three. Then you've got your eggs. Then there's another one that's more of a cube.
Cube, kind of a triangle cube is what I understand.
I've seen variations of this cube being talked about.
Right.
And there seems to be an impression that the cube's kind of like the Borg. Another tie-in to popular culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That are more nefarious.
Okay, here's popular culture. Right. What did the Robinsons fly?
A saucer.
That's right.
What did the Enterprise have for the head part of the starship?
A saucer.
What did happen in Forbidden Planet when they landed on Altair 4?
Saucer.
What was Klaatu flying along with Gort?
Saucer.
Bingo. That's the old movie, by the way. But the new movie, what does it have? It has a sphere.
Oh, yes. Which there is spheres. Okay.
Let's keep going. We're talking universal shapes here, by the way.
Okay. And some that are not shaped. There's your Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Which goes back into the 40s. Before that. More during the war they saw them, but way back before. I'd say couple hundred years they saw them before that.
I'm betting that in World War I there might have been something flying around when they were having their conflict. Obviously, war conflict seems to draw the attention of whatever. Even right now with the stuff that's been going on between Russia and the Ukraine, there has been a number of different sightings that have been reported on both sides, right? I don't know about what's going on in the Israel and that whole Gaza Strip scenario. Both of those conflicts have been completely downplayed in the news.
I won't go into that because there's a lot of stuff happening there. But the other one is, so the whole thing about this is that the other ones that we want, we talked about all these ones that happened. Oh. There's more. There's a lot more.
So Paul was telling me about a story that we had talked about, and actually when Lou Elizondo brought up the book of Eminent, which we both just dove into big time each, there was that whole story of the Kolaris thing. So I'm going to let you.
No, go ahead.
So Kolaris in, what is it, 1974, 75, I think? The small little group area in South Central America, I believe.
South Central America.
Was being harassed by lights in the sky, flying objects of sorts, to the point where their beams coming down and paralyzing people. Some people are being subjected to something that's burning their skin.
Yeah, burn when the beam hit them.
Laser beams.
Yes.
Laser beams.
So what now, later, that there's more than one, several, Dr. Stephen Greer has basically said that the black ops are using those people and training them so they can mentally talk to or control some of these things that are happening. They are basically prisoners.
So, so go a little bit further. So you're saying that he's talking about, so he's saying that Black Ops is going in there and using them as a control group.
Right.
Right. They're using a small isolated area of Kolaris.
Right.
As a control group.
But so they take them. They take the people. They've actually gone in and taken villages because they've gone in and some villages are gone.
Okay.
Because they said that they were abducted. That's what they're saying, that these people were abducted. What happened is Black Ops are using them kind of like Stranger Things, you know, with 11.
Okay.
Kind of the same thing. And what happened is he was talking about the ones who don't make it are basically mentally and physically gone. They die. As if you don't make it, you die.
Okay.
Okay. Some of this is, he didn't go in a little bit further than he should have, and I wish he would have. It kind of got a little scary because thinking about that.
I think, and this is where a lot of the guys who are whistleblowers who are coming forth, who are starting to gain traction and being a lot more public, are protecting themselves by bringing this stuff up, but they only go so far because if they were to come out with everything that they know,
right,
you'd scare the whole populace and they would revolt.
They would.
They completely would.
Yeah. If they find out there's a black op in the United States, we know that. We really believe that there's a black op that nobody answers. Because presidents are trying to go in and ask. Generals have gone in. And they just said, sorry, sir. It's a need to know.
And you
don't need to know. This thing with what's happening now with all the money being cut and stuff like that. Guaranteed those black ops are not being cut.
Mm-mm.
No. In fact,
so where's that budget going to?
In fact, they might be getting more money. While they're cutting this, they're getting more money. Yeah. This is very scary for me because where are we heading?
There's a lot of people who are on one side of the fence that's saying that there's a lot of fear and control going on here. And because of that fear, people are being easily manipulated and everything like that. There is another side that says, you know, if you give them that kind of power over you,
right,
it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
If you keep a positive mental ability about you or so, and you present that to other people and you're able to influence that small group of people, you'll be fine. You can't change the world as an individual unless you have that kind of power in resources. I don't. I feel like if I go into a place with positivity, sorry, we're going to talk about some mental stuff here, human mental stuff, and you're putting out forth positivity to any group of people, if I can make a person laugh during the course of the day, I've raised their vibration and frequency, right? When you come away from somebody who's making you laugh, do you feel good about it?
Yes.
Exactly. So you've raised your positivity, you've raised that frequency, you've raised that whole sphere of influence. And if you do it more and more frequently, that spreads out a better feeling across everybody. And then you're no longer fearful about anything. If there are UFOs, great. Am I ready for it? I don't know until I see some. I think I've seen some.
I mean... I'm kind of scared, but you know what? I would love to go out and put that frequency out there while I'm out someplace, you know, in a field.
I don't want to shake your hand, but if you want to pull my finger, I got something for you.
Oh, now I got to tell you something that this is one that's brought up. The people that went and did retrieval of some of these crash sites and of these UFOs have gotten really, really sick because of some kind, and they don't know what radiation burns and poisoning when they're close to these things.
You know what I think it is? It's not a radiation that we're familiar with because it doesn't exist in this realm. It doesn't exist in this reality. It's a interdimensional radiation.
That has been brought up that these...
That's what I think it is.
UFOs are from a different dimension and that they pop in, they can pop in and out. That's one of the reasons why they can see it in one space and another space in like a second. Because they can pop in and pop out.
Or phase in and phase out, if you like. Which also gives the reason why there may be a number of bases that are around the world that we don't see because we can't get that far down deep into the ocean. The pressures may be more familiar or similar to where they're from originally. Reasons why you're having a trans medium.
Right.
From, say, air to water. So you're changing from a gas to a fluid, you know, probably to a solid at this point because you're being able to just bypass all that stuff. There's been theories about tubules being able, like saucers, could hit the water going as fast underwater as they are above, shooting through these things, and then they disappear into a rock face.
Right. Well, that's also in Skinwalker Ranch that they're saying it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Well, you take a look at some of those videos that they've got of the drones up there, and they show a UAP going through one part of that mesa.
Right.
And literally popping
coming out the other
side.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, one of the other ones that I wanted to talk about is...
There was a number of other side-related topics and stuff like that, but one of the things that I need to bring up is where people are getting their resource materials from, okay? There's a lot of people who will go through and they'll say that Reddit's like one of the best places to get stuff from. Again, this is where we were talking very early on about people pretending to be a doctor or a doctorate of some kind and just throwing stuff out there, but there's no way to vet these people because they're so high up on the list.
Okay. Why, thank you. I never knew I was.
Yeah, thank you. Right? There are other reporters that are suspect. If you know anything about their backgrounds, they bring up. So there's a guy by the name of Kristen Harloff.
Yeah.
Okay. He was on the series called Collider, which was a very, and I think is still moderately popular online, YouTube-wise. But he had a major meltdown because he was shilling for the Disney company, and he wanted to get all these promos and stuff like that. And he felt that he should have been given a bunch of stuff. Now he's got his own individual radio show going on like this, and he's talking about a number of these UFO things. He's suspect, in my opinion, because of his blow up online.
Right.
Immediately out to the general public. So, hey guys, if you're doing any research on any of the stuff that we're talking about, do your due diligence and really double check and vet your own people.
Yeah.
And sources that you're getting any of your information from. I'm not the end all be all of any of this stuff. I'm just a guy who's interested in the topic.
I've watched so many things. I used to watch MUFON and then Weaponized. There's a lot of on YouTube that you can watch a lot. I take it with a grain of salt. I have to, how do I back this up? Is there more than one person seeing this? You know, just to say that somebody has said, well, this is the way it is, doesn't mean it's the way it is.
Oh, yeah. Like, so back in the late 90s when they had the UFO Files or Exposed or the History Channel, most base groups of individuals, who owns the History Channel?
Disney.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Disney owns them.
Disney. Yeah. What's Disney? It's a big multimedia conglomerate. They're going to put the most base amount of stuff out there, and they'll never give you the actual answer.
No.
They're doing it for entertainment.
That's all it is.
So be mindful when you're watching a lot of this stuff out there that a lot of it is purely entertainment. Now, there might be little nit bits of it out there that ring truth, but let your own personality, do you agree with that? Or don't. Be mindful of everything that you come across when you're listening to any of this kind of stuff, because there's a lot of BS out there, man. Refine that BS detector.
So what a lot of stuff that I will look at is, like, I go on the government agencies.
Okay.
Which you can online. The CIA, you can actually go on the CIA, FBI, Arrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Arrow, actually. You can actually go on Arrow, and that's where I saw some of the footage that they had. some of those footage is real good. Some of them are like, yeah, kind of questionable. But that was the old Arrow. This is from the old Arrow. Now, the new Arrow has a different person.
Right.
Which I think is going to be a lot more informative. So he's going to, they'll let out more information. You know, to say that they haven't found any evidence of a UAP on the old.
That's a bunch of BIS.
Yeah. So they figured that that was covered by a different agency.
Well, when you have somebody like Kirkpatrick, who I think in a lot of ways, I think he just outright lied to the congressional people.
Yeah.
Even if he was in breach, he's still working in D.C. I don't know what he's doing now. He's probably, I'm looking at retirement and stuff like that. It's like every single person that retires from a high visible organization of some kinds in the government, especially in the Pentagon, because they don't talk about it too much until after the fact, right? This guy was ahead of this. I was like, where did that ever come up on the news? Never. You were already secret before, dude, and now you're talking about, I'm a retired general with this blah, blah, blah. I'm going to come forth and tell the American people that I was in charge of this company. You were already vetted, and what, you don't have an NDA? You can't talk about that stuff, dude. Not unless you're on your deathbed. That seems to be the only place that anybody comes out, and then you don't know if they're lying or not.
There's
just like
there's a captain that came out, and he worked his way all the way through. Right. It's almost like you know who that came out. But no, and I think it was he ends up being a major, I think further than that. And he ended up working with the UAPs. And what happened was that he's now coming out and talking about it.
Oh, the guy who worked for NASA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this guy was a doctor, Dr. Gregory something or other. And I'll just say it because he came out. Gregory Roger. Major, retired. He worked for 30 years working for NASA as a doctor that had to deal with the astronauts that were coming back from like Apollo 17, I think, right, or something like that, and other astronauts in the NASA program. And then he's being pulled aside to go into a hangar or look at some sort of movie.
Yeah.
What is this guy that this unknown major that comes up to him? And it's just like, I've got something to blow your socks off.
What, you know, they're not going to do that.
No. Why would you? That to me is another plant.
That's the top.
And,
yeah.
And it's not the saying that the Dr. Gregory Roger isn't a real doctor. He is.
Yeah.
But what he's being shown seems to be by a plant from somebody in Black Ops.
Right. Right. Again, we're going to go back to Black Ops and how they don't want you, a lot of people, to know what's going on or the disinformation to confuse you. And like we've already done to you, we're not part of the CIA. We're not paid to do anything.
Oh.
But it's so it is confusing. And so double check, if you can, all your information.
Fact find.
Yeah.
Definitely do some fact finding on your own. I mean, use your own best intuition,
right,
when it comes across information. If it rings to you like not being true or something puts a red flag up, there's probably a reason for it.
Right.
Go with that. That's the best thing I can say. So it's like this Michael Brown guy. Again, there's something that doesn't seem to track with it. For one reason or another, it's just like, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer. You know, Michael Brown might be the most legit guy possible.
Yeah.
But it's the way it's presented to me by Corbell.
Kind of, the guy kind of talks double talk.
There's a little bit going on there because if you listen to the way he talks as a presenter.
Right.
He says he knows stuff, but the way he presents it, it's like, do you really? I mean, and I question a little bit of the guy, but I'm not trying to jab him or anything. But it's at the same point, it's like you're looking for people with money to be able to fund your show. If you were somebody like, say, Robert Bigelow,
right,
or the guy who owns Skinwalker Ranch, and you're independently wealthy, then you would come forth with a little bit more information,
right,
I think. And I'm talking visually. He's got enough video material behind him. He's already a documentary,
right,
director and editor, so he could edit out some of that stuff that would be sensitive material.
Right.
Right. But I think because of where the scene's taking place at, that he's got his hands tied, that he can't come forth. But he and George Knapp also, like Dr. Greer, say if we're ever offed, certain letters are going to be given and sent out with everything. And it's just like, I think a lot of the black ops people say that these guys are virtually untouchable. We cannot touch them. They're going up right up to the edge as far as they can.
Right. And what they do, though, is they do the disinformation to try to disinformation them, try to make them saying, oh, what they said was not right. So there's all this. There's a game being played.
There's definitely a chess game going on.
So the UFOs, I got to say.
It's a tri-dimensional game.
That are UAPs. If you see one, there is several sites on the internet that you can report those, and they're not government, and they don't go, you know, like the police or anything. There's actually, they track them.
All right, part of the disinformation situation is the news. Okay, so the drones haven't gone away, guys. They're still out there.
Yeah, they are.
They're still out there. I see them all the time. I see them here in Portland. I think I saw something that wasn't a drone. It was something else altogether. And I pointed it out to a friend of mine, and he saw it too.
Well, that video you had, that was pretty big. That was not like that was as big as a car.
It was definitely flying around, a couple of them. And virtually just before sunrise, these things are flying around out over the river of the Willamette and then disappear.
Yeah.
And it's just like, where did they go? I don't know. I saw a drone when I was going to work. I was riding into town. It was still dark in the morning. And they will fly during the night. But you can tell when you can see because of the running lights are completely different from even a slow-moving patrol plane. And I've watched one of these patrol planes fly across town. It had multicolored lights on it and stuff like that. But it was flying so slow and everything like that. And there was a very methodical way of it going across. And then the closer it got to you, you could hear the propeller sound from the motor.
Right, right.
But these things don't have that.
Drones make a noise.
This drone, one, did not have a noise. It was stationary literally for minutes on end. And then when I pointed the direction to my friend, Keenan, who is at the bar, of course, yeah, we had some beer. You're looking up there, you see this thing, and it's a red light with a couple little red lights around the outside perimeter of it, right? And then suddenly it takes off from stationary to pshw.
Right.
And it's like, no drone flies like that.
No.
Not even close. So something else was up there. I should have got my laser pointer at it and like, beep.
Well, that's one of the characteristics of all of these UAPs is that they can do 90-degree angles. They recorded to go Mach 3?
Yeah, easy. Easy.
Easy. Being stationary, go from up in the sky down into the water, and then back out. There's reports. They've actually seen some where they had, I remember one I was watching, it was a sky camera or something, and you could actually see several, leave the Earth. Because of the sky. You just see them go. Phew. Usually they come the other way. You know,
most of the
but
time.
You can tell because behind them, you can see the little, because they were going so fast and they do heat up. I mean, you know, and so you could see kind of a little tail at the end going up, not down. So, and then of course, be careful when you look at the sky because Mr. Elon Musk's little satellites you can see at night.
You can spot them every once in a while. They roll in a chain. It's a string of lights. I've seen a couple of them go across the sky right around about 7 o'clock at night. Right now, it'd probably be closer to 8 o'clock because of the time change. That's right. Another one. Time change.
Time change.
Damn. Anyway, sun, daylight savings time BS. Give me a break. But anyway, you can spot these. You can see the string of satellites cruising across the sky. And it's actually a really interesting sight to see. I will say that.
Yeah.
But they're catching the sunlight up above the general part of the atmosphere.
Right.
And reflecting the sunlight because for us, the Terminator, which is, and I'm not talking about Arnold. Okay, just let's make sure we're talking about the right. The Terminator of light between where the Earth loses its sunlight and goes dark.
Right.
And the only thing that's lighting up the sky is the sun as it goes across the atmosphere. And the atmosphere is going to bend that light. Sorry, science. Science.
Science!
She black. The sun blinded me with science. All right. Sorry, Thomas Dolby. I didn't mean to take your strength from you there. There's a difference in the Terminator as it goes across the sky and as the Earth rotates that shifts all the time. And so you're going to be able to see satellites a lot more easily because they're higher up in the atmosphere
and
they're or up in the orbit.
Yeah, or with the light.
Low Earth orbit.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're seeing all these scenes from like the International Space Station or one of the old space shuttle flights, you're looking at the curvature of the Earth. You see the atmosphere being shown, and then you see these little particles floating around, right? And then you see something. The one that STS 48, I think this is the one I was talking about earlier. The object pops in the atmosphere. It pops in just really fast, and then it slowly goes by, and then you see a flash off to the left of the screen, and then it immediately shoots off at a high rate of speed, and then something shoots out of the atmosphere.
Right.
And the theory is that that's a rail gun or something like that. I took a look at it again. News Nation's Ross Coulthart is looking into this particular topic of that. I'm really curious to see if he covers the Black Knight satellite. That'd be really interesting.
Yes.
Because there's been so many books and documentation about it that I'm sure that any author is going to put their particular spin on it and maybe throw a little artistic license, as they say. Trust me, I know what that's all about. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out. But, I mean, there's so many things that just came out this week.
This is actually going to be part one. Oh. I think we can do part two next week. Easily.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
So we got so much information. Again, this is Comedy Potpourri.
This is Alan.
This is Paul. And what we would like to do is go ahead and go on our website, comedypotpourri.com. On there, you can actually comment. Send us the comments on our websites. Please do that on our email sites. You can know what you like. And subscribe, please. Thank you.
And thank you.